Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, titled, Risen with Him. This is part 2 of 2.
And you're not washing your sins away with H2O. The blood of Jesus is the only thing to wash your sins away. You have heard the joyful sound, water saves, water saves. Well, if you believe baptism saves, that's how you ought to sing that song. And Paul's letter to Rome, Romans 6:4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now, you want to take that literal? Then we got to kill you. Then drop you in the water. That's what it says, doesn't it? But no, you have any... You know, God kind of assumes you use common sense. And that you read things as they are intended in their context. And a lot of times I run across these people preach this nonsense about baptism saving you and everything. And they just throw all common sense out the window. They refuse to read the context. And then they build churches with a bunch of unsaved baptized people in it. And next thing you know, they got a homo in the pulpit as a pastor. And you wonder how that happened. Well, that happened because you packed the church full of unsaved baptized people. That's how it happened. Same thing's going on in Independent Baptist, by the way. The 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. You want to be saved? Yeah, say this little prayer. Oh, dear Lord, save me. Amen. And then you're a member. Hey, here's a book. Teach Sunday school. That's how crazy it is. And then they packed their churches with a bunch of unsaved, eternally secure Baptists. You couldn't talk about their salvation. And of course, then you go to the Calvinist church and they want to talk everybody out of their salvation. Because you don't really know if you're elect until you're dead. Amen? See what I'm saying? I'm just saying you better be very careful. What you believe can hurt you. John, what were we talking about? We were talking about something downstairs. Heresy producing horrible effects. What was it we were talking about? Something just happened. Doug, you were there. What were we talking about? Oh, we were talking about the name and claim it nonsense. Where you take a sick woman. Doug was telling a story about somebody in a church, a Lutheran church. And she died, and they told her family it was her fault because she just didn't have enough faith. Pam's mother, they... So you people would just say, well, everybody's got their beliefs. And you know, hey, let me tell you something. I've seen heresy and false doctrine destroy people. And so you better understand, baptism doesn't save you in a literal sense, but it's a like figure unto the washing away, not the filth of the flesh with water, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. You better be in those waters because you're already saved. Mm-hmm. And your baptism is a testimony. Amen. And then he says, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him. Look at that. Say that with me. Wherein also ye are risen with him. Doesn't say you're going to be. You are risen with him.
Amen.
And of course, it's not this flesh. People, they're just so fleshly. And I'm one of you, by the way. I'm not just talking about everybody else. There's times where I'm watching something and I'll be so distracted by their face that I forget what they're talking about. You ever what? I'm not going to name names, but there's one guy, one particular weatherman, and I'll turn him on and I just get distracted. So I'll just close my eyes and listen to it. And I'm not, you know, I joke about the fact I got a face for radio, amen? No, and I'm not going to tell you if you get it right either, John. I'm not going to say. You of all people should know you can get in trouble with that kind of stuff. But I had people, back when I, remember when I had a clean shaved head and a goatee. And someone said, I wouldn't listen to a preacher that looks like the devil. I said, well, you should know. Yo mama. So then I decide I'm just going to stop shaving. Because some men shave, and other men just enjoy being men. And last year I told the kids I'm going to let it go for a year, and then we'll see. It'll be a year after. I think Christmas will be a year. And I've had a couple people say something about that beard. I just don't like that beard. People accuse me of trying to look like what those people, duck people, what are they called? Duck dynasty.
No, those
are real beards. Yeah. That's a real. Yeah. Or ZZ Top. Somebody said, what are you trying to do, look like ZZ Top? But, you know, I could respond and say, well, you know, take off that makeup and, you know, let's see what you look like in real world terms. You know what I mean? I just try to let it go. Try not to. I'm thinking, what do these people think? They're already glorified? I got news for you, folks. I mean, I try to be nice and say, oh, you look nice today and all that, but you're a mess. I mean, just go turn. That's why I've told her we stayed away from those really bright white lights in the bathroom. You get up in the mirror and those, you're like, oh, I've got to do something. Huh? And every little, you know, zit and, you know, you can see them from, they're still healing up from 3 weeks ago and you can see them. And there have been girls, I'm telling you, there have been girls who let that get to them. They'll pick and pick and pick, they'll cause scarring. And one of the ways to keep girls from doing that is, you know, make them get their makeup on with candlelight. You know? You can buy those, these are soft whites, those aren't too bad. But don't buy the white, bright white, because that'll mess a woman up. I mean, it's bad enough for men, but women are even worse about it. And they'll start buying everything, a base, and then, you hear them like, you know, like, come on, man, just turn the lights out, you'll look fine. But that's why Martha has such nice looking skin. You know, she hasn't sat in front of the mirror and looked at herself and thought, I got to pick this face off. And that's what people do. Hey, that's, you should be reminded, that's your reminder. You get problems with your body of any sort. It's your reminder. Your body is still fallen. Your body is in need of. My battery's running low. Why is that? Oh, can you plug my thing in there? There's another example. During the millennium, my computer won't need batteries. Yeah. Oh, I don't know about in the millennium if I have batteries. But that really is a good example. My point though is our whole lives we're constantly fighting the second law of thermodynamics. Yeah. Everything's running down. How many of you know what I mean when I say second law of thermodynamics? The law of entropy? Mm-hmm. It's a hard law that is not contradicted. All scientists and creation scientists, evolutionary scientists, everybody agrees. It's a law. Everything's running down. That includes your face. Your body is running down. Your brain. You wouldn't believe. I know some of you wouldn't believe it. Because I was standing up here earlier talking to Chris, trying to think of a control panel on my computer. And, man, back in my 20s, you talk about a memory. And one guy joked and introduced me to his church as a walking Bible. You ever heard of Jack Van Impe?
Yeah.
Man, I got up and said, whoa, now, I ain't no Jack Van Impe. Because he rattled off those Bible verses. But really, I could. Don't ask me to do that now. I'll get my phone app out. Why? Something wrong. My brain is just running down. My body's running down. But it is still true that you are risen with Him. It's a done deal, folks. You can just buy in. Really believe the Word of God and don't give it lip service. And when I'm baptizing you, have you noticed I don't just hold you under? Brought you back up, Charlie, didn't I? I was tempted to hold you a little longer. Think it might sanctify you a little more. Pulled that big guy out of there. And that is why I don't hold you under, is because I'm picturing the fact that you are risen with Him. Are. So that's the picture. Buried with Him in baptism and raised to new life in Christ. Again, as we read the whole passage in 1 Peter, I left part of the verse out. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by what? The resurrection of Jesus. That's the whole thing, man. Jesus died on the cross, buried, and stayed there. We're still left in our sins. But because Jesus rose, He conquered sin and death. For that reason, when we're baptized, we bring you up out of the water. You're risen. You are risen. Again, as we read the whole passage in Romans, I left part of that out. I quoted this part. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. The rest of it says that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Did you notice that word, should? We don't always do it. But we should. There should be something different about you. Not, you don't have to be a drug addict, a pimp, you know, a murderer. You know, all these people say, oh, he had such a wonderful testimony. And he killed 14 people with an axe and then got saved. That's not a wonderful testimony. It's wonderful that God would save a guy like that just as well as anybody else. But a wonderful testimony is, you know, I became such and such years old and I realized I was a sinner and I needed to be saved and I got saved. Amen. That's a beautiful testimony. Doesn't happen very often, but does happen. Amen? But even then, there should be something different about you before and after. Number one, before that, you didn't know the peace of God that passes all understanding. You didn't know your Bible, and you didn't have all the assurances given to you from the Scripture. Before you got saved, no matter how good you were, you didn't have all the promises of God. You didn't have the close relationship with the Lord that you can have as a Christian. And you weren't really concerned about the lost souls around you, but as a Christian, that should be a huge difference in your life, that you become concerned for the lost, etc., so forth, and so on. It says, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. It's not by your works, baptism or otherwise, but I love how it calls this an operation of God. God performs an operation on you. That circumcision, I always use the scissors because I kind of picture the Holy Spirit kind of cutting around, you know, and getting us loose from our flesh. The Bible doesn't put it in those terms, but that's how my mind works. But we quoted that last week. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. He's talking about dividing a two-edged sword. But how many of you had the game? Operation? Had a little tiny? Well, that's a good picture of what happens when you and I try to operate. When we get in the middle of this and we try to do things, that's where these churches come up with their false teachings and all the nonsense. Man getting involved. Religion is man trying to work his way up to God. It's a bad operation. But God's operation is, as it says, through the faith. Stephen talked about in our study this morning. It's not by faith alone. You hear that all the time. The Bible says it's by grace through faith. And it's not, if it's your faith alone, you're lost. It better be by grace through faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Didn't just conjure it up in yourself. Came from God. It's a demonstration of faith. It's not a work for salvation. Who hath raised Him from the dead? That's what we'll close with this. It's all about the power of God. Some of you, there's nothing wrong with wanting to read your Bible more. There's nothing wrong with wanting to pray more. I've actually never met a sane, decent Christian who is satisfied with what they do when it comes to reading the Bible, praying, witnessing, and all that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do better. But that's not what it's all about. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about Him saving you. It's about Him keeping you. Look over Matthew 22. Matthew 22, beginning verse 29. Matthew 22, 29. Read a few verses. 32. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. They were trying to stump Jesus, and they asked Him a question about a woman who had several husbands. And they said, which will she be in heaven? Just like Jenny, she was married to Mark. He passed away, went to be with the Lord. Now she's married to me. We're not going to get up in heaven and have a cage match over Jenny. That's what Jesus... Not that she's not worth it, but that's not necessary. Read verse 30, or verse 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, read 32 with me, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You see? You are risen, and though ye be dead, yet shall ye live. It's resurrection power. If God can raise Jesus, He can raise you. I'm preaching this now. I'm not going to wait till you're about to die and then come to the hospital and hope to convince you of this. You need to be convinced of this now. You need to live your life with this power in you now. And then when death comes, if it's next week, next year, next decade, Lord tarries, whatever, you're ready then because you got ready now. Amen. Too many people just want to go through life fleshly. I got my hell insurance paid up. I'm going to heaven. That's all I need. Then when it's about time for them to die, they start to freak out. And everybody's trying to call a preacher who can come and talk sense to them. Shouldn't be like that. He lives. Amen? Amen. Musicians, come. We're going to sing about that. Page 132 in your hymn book. But this resurrection truth is the power of the cross. The cross, Jesus paid for sin. He's your substitute. He died in your place. The resurrection, He defeated the power sin has over you. And that's why we sing, because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Amen. Think about what those words mean, because they're very good words. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. All any struggle you have in life, illness, death, and I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody, I've told people before, if no one else ever takes what I preach to heart, I want to take it to heart. I want to be ready. I want to live with this wonderful reality of His resurrection daily. And then when the time comes that I depart, it's really just like second nature to think in those terms. It's not in your nature. Our nature is sinful, but we're given a second nature. And we can think God's thoughts. Amen? Think about these words as you sing. Stand with me if you would. Let's sing. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful truth in your book.
Amen.
Lord, we, just as I said, and I close the message, may we live with this truth daily, allow it to become a part of the fiber of our very being. Walk day in and day out, rejoicing in the power of the cross and the empty tomb. We are saved.
Amen.
Lord, help us to live lives that reflect that reality. Give us the joy. Give us the peace. And I know, according to your word, you give it as we surrender our own will, our own opinion to your word. And so we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
The old Red Cross.
Far away, stood an old. Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.